At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
My name is Michael Ogg, and I've been incarcerated 29 years.
Okay, the following episode of Ear Hustle.
The following episode of Ear Hustle.
Contains language that may not be appropriate for all listeners.
Contains language that may not be appropriate for all listeners.
Discretion is advised.
Discretion is advised.
And can you say where you're standing right now?
I'm standing in front of the program office at LAC, Lancaster State Prison.
No, we were just talking.
Oh, watch your eyes. Oh yeah, that's a dust storm.
I'm out.
We just got dusted. This is the Mojave Desert, just got dusted.
Wow, that hurt. Whew, Earlon, that was not like being at San Quentin.
Nah, I haven't been in heat like that in so long to where I forgot my hat.
I know, but okay, you didn't have your hat, but you were dressed up that day.
Oh, anytime I step back in a penal system, I'm gonna be suited and booted. You know what I'm saying? I gotta inspire cats, you know?
Right. Success walks back in, right?
Indeed. In 95 degrees weather.
95 degrees in April.
Those desert prisons ain't no joke, Nige. But you know, the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation asked us to come.
Yep.
They wanted us to talk to guys about our experiences getting the vaccine.
Yeah, the CDCR is trying to get all prisons up to an 80% vaccination rate. And this prison, California State Prison, Los Angeles County, which a lot of folks call Lancaster because it's in that town, is at a 62% rate, which is one of the lowest rates in California.
So I've always wanted to say this, my name is Ike Dotson, and I approve this message. I'm going to bring up actually both Nigel and Earlon right here. There's two microphones. You guys can both speak if you want.
There were about 10 guys sitting out in that hot-ass sun. A few had already taken the vaccine, but a bunch were undecided.
So, thanks, you.
Thank you. Yep.
After we talked, guys had some questions. And this one dude, Shabazz, he was sitting there with this look on his face like, you know, someone come talk to me. So I went over to talk to him. He had all these tattoos on his face. But man, he was a hard sell about that damn vaccine.
I believe I had caught COVID and I survived, so to say. So to me, it's like, what's the use of getting a shot to prevent from catching COVID? And I had COVID and it didn't live up to the hype, as if, you know, all this dramatic stuff happening to me, just me personally. So,
but the other guys were on his head.
Oh yeah, pretty much everyone was like, hey, come on, we're here to support you, you should do this thing.
Man, let me tell you what they told me at the auto dealership. What can I do to get you into this car?
Freedom, yeah, for real.
And I guess it worked. Because all of a sudden, skeptical Shabazz had a change of heart.
I swear.
Man, I'm a vaccinator.
Earlon, this guy, man, it just seemed like he was swaying with the wind.
So, we swung with him to see if he'd go through with it.
Yep, and we'll get back to that a little bit later.
For now, let's get into this week's episode. Who are you, man? We don't nobody know you.
I'm Shane.
It's that laugh. You ain't even have to say it in the laugh right there. Had
it. No, I'm Shane. What are we talking about?
Old Shane. He's an Ear Hustle alumni.
Oh, Mittens, you know how I feel about him. It doesn't take much convincing for me to say, let's get him back on the show.
Nope. That's why we drove down to pay him a visit over in Santa Cruz a little while back. And he told us about this thing that happened to him while he was locked up.
Now, see, I saw someone when I was in prison with it, like an iPad tablet.
Mittens was really curious about this tablet. Mm-hmm. It had really nice graphics and all these games and shit on it. So he's like, yeah, I'm about to get me one of these.
So Shane decides he's going to place an order through a catalog.
Not just any catalog.
Right. The catalog for a prison-approved company that specializes in selling stuff to incarcerated people. And the tablet in that catalog, E,
hey,
you know it's not an iPad, right?
No.
It's from a company called ClearTech.
Yep. ClearTech is a very different situation. But Shane didn't know that yet. He was psyched.
So I thought that that was the quality that I was getting because he was playing games on it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like this tablet's about to be lit. and then I get my ClearTech and it had like solitaire on it. I'm like, oh, this thing's fucking sucks. This is the worst one.
You want to tell them why that other guy's tablet was so much better than Shane's?
Because unlike Shane, that guy didn't get his through the catalog. He got his through, shall we say, unofficial channels.
Why is yours so good? Oh, it's because like it's brought to you by Apple. So it had like a Wi-Fi and everything on it. Mine was just like had a reader with like Moby Dick and like where the red fern grows. And that's it. Both books I read.
Today on the show, what you can and can't legitimately get in prison. It all depends on the catalog.
Finally, a shopping episode. You know I'm excited.
But not your type of shopping, Nige.
Not exactly, but still, it's shopping.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
And I'm Nigel Poor.
This is Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, it's sound familiar.
Yes, it sounds like the catalog, right? Of course, I have one with me, and let me describe it. It's the prison supply catalog. It's kind of like a thin phone book. It's actually 300 pages, but it's got that same flimsy kind of paper. And, you know, as I flip through it, the first page I come to is like two pages of different kinds of peanut butter and almond butter. Mm-hmm. You know, then there's a section with condiments, and I'm looking at an item here that looks quite appealing to me called Sucker Punch Gourmet Pickle Chips. But what was your favorite section?
Of course, it was the shoes, you know. That's actually everybody's favorite section. You know, you got to look through and see what fits your fancy, you know. Because if I can remember, their selection was like Nikes, Pumas, Filas, and shit like that.
I'm saying yes because I actually happen to be on the sneaker page now. And this is what strikes me. There's five pages. Every single pair is white. There's no color choice.
Yep. CDCR somehow tripped out on the color choice. I forgot when, but you used to be able to have whatever color you wanted, except red or blue. You know, the gang colors.
But now it's pretty much all white. And they have to cost less than like $75. And they can't have those air pockets in the soles either.
Because supposedly you can hide shit in there.
Really?
But after you check out the shoes,
yeah,
you usually gander over to the clothing section, you know, because you might see a nice suit in there that you can, you know, get. And, you know.
I think you've forgotten because all the clothes here are actually white and gray.
All right. True. But, you know, the nice thing about ordering clothes is that you get to hold on to something. You know, it's like clothes for me would last for a while.
Right. As opposed to just buying food. Right. Because that goes real quick.
Too quick. But everyone got their different preferences. You know what I'm saying? Some guys have real strong feelings about their favorite shit, you know?
And back when we were at Lancaster Prison outside of LA for that COVID vaccine awareness event, we had a chance to talk to some guys about the catalog. When the catalog comes, what's the first section you go to?
Yeah, I always go to the shoes, but shoes are not that good.
They fall apart quick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
They sell us Nikes and New Balance and Skechers, but they're the low end. They're bottom run shoes.
What's your go-to item?
Coconut oil.
Coconut oil?
And the reason being is because it's a superfood and it's antiviral. So it fights valley fever. It fights against COVID-19. I can use it on my skin, on my face.
My favorite item is candy and Chinese sausages, I guess.
I go to the seafood a lot. Mackerel, octopus.
They have an 8-ounce bag of coffee for $2.90, and I can't pass that deal up because I can buy 10 bags.
You get 10 bags at one time?
Well, it's for 3 months. So
yeah, I was going to say, how many cups of coffee is that?
That's two a day, roughly.
Do you share?
Yeah, absolutely, I share.
Cereal, granola cereal, granola bars, rice, beans.
Well, I've been buying Ritz crackers.
What do you put on top of the Ritz cracker?
Tuna, oysters, sometimes like that, you know.
Does this mean anything to you? Everything tastes great when it sits on a Ritz.
That's probably true, though.
So like with our creamers, I mean, the options, we have French vanilla creamer McDaniels, we have hazelnut coffee creamer, we have Coffee Mate caramel macchiato creamer, Coffee Mate creamy chocolate
French vanilla creamer, we have hazelnut creamer,
vanilla,
we
have I mean, it's like the list goes on and on.
This is Natalie Tovar. She's a rep for the Walking Horse Package Company.
Walking Horse. I used to always say that you needed a black card to order from that place.
I mean, you mean because it's fancy?
No, they was in Napa. You know what I'm saying? Come on.
Synonymous with money.
Exactly.
Walking Horse is one of those big prison supply companies. And a big part of Natalie's job is traveling around every prison in California and asking people what they would like to see more of and less of in that catalog. Who is harder to deal with, the women's prison or the men's prison? Who gets more intense about stuff?
I would say the women come with a bigger list, and they're definitely a lot more detailed on the things that they want. Like, I may go into men's prison, I may only have 5 items that they talk about, where I'll go into women's prison and I'll have 32 items that we're going to talk about.
And of course, when you're dealing with prisons, there are a ton of rules about what the catalogs can and cannot sell.
Yep, here's one. Men can't have dried fruit, hard candy, even ketchup. All that kind of stuff gotta have some artificial sweetener in it, like saccharin. And that shit leaves a horrible taste in your mouth.
And that's all because prison authorities don't want guys having real sugar and using it to make Pruno. You know, that delicious prison-made alcohol.
But you know what's crazy, Nige?
What?
Women are allowed to order that kind of stuff. I think it's some bullshit, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, the rules can seem a little kind of arbitrary.
A situation that was kind of a big deal for a long time was gray clothing and what is considered dark gray and what's considered the appropriate gray. Really, it could change based on opinion. I could put 10 R&R sergeants here and they could all be like, that's just regular gray. And some would say that's dark gray. And I mean, you know, so I think that would have been like a gray area.
There's a lot of catalogs around. So people do other things with it besides shop. Have you ever heard about any of those things?
No, I mean, I know that if there's a calendar in them, they'll tear out the calendar and put it up. But I really don't know.
You haven't heard?
I haven't heard.
What do you do with those catalogs? If you're not just using it, what do you use them for?
Oh, well, you know, for us that are like to work out, we'll roll them up with tape and use them for a workout bar, get 2 or 3 of them together. That usually works because they're thick. They don't break or bend.
One of the things that I learned to do when I was in county was origami. Give me something to do with my hands.
I mean, I like to make a little chair out of them. So like when the homies come over, you know, like everyone's got a place to sit.
Describe how you made the chair.
It's not too complicated. You just stack a lot of them on top of each other. Then you tie them up. You know what I mean? Then maybe you can make like a pad. Because my boy would come over because he worked in the kitchen. He'd come back with some ice cold milks at night. And like I had like the red velvet cookies from a canteen and like the Mick would be on. And be like, well, let's party. You know, like drink some cold milk and eat some cookies.
You're such a nice host. The company Natalie Tovar works for, Walking Horse, is one of the 7 companies that are authorized to sell stuff through catalogs inside prison.
Yep, and they're all competing with each other for your business. That's why there's so many catalogs floating around the prison.
So Natalie's job is to promote her catalog over everyone else's.
Yep, and I remember seeing her when I was at San Quentin. She'd come out to the yard and shoot the shit with the guys, then talk about Walking Horse business.
All business. But Actually, she's been coming into San Quentin since she was a kid.
So my first exposure to prison was when I was a child, when my dad was incarcerated at San Quentin.
But how old were you?
10.
10. And what do you remember from the visits?
Okay, well, you know, I remember not minding the visits in the visiting room so much because, you know, we would get good snacks and, you know, play games. I hated the three-day family visits. From my memory, there was like six trailers and there was like a swing in the middle. And so the kids could actually play together. Like we could interact with other fam, like, you know, we got locked out of the trailer for 8 hours and we only got to come in to eat. So that was my memory of family visits and I hated them. The only good thing about those visits was the fact that my mom, we could bring in all of our own food, which is very different because now you have to, you know, like pre-order that stuff from the package companies. She would make enchiladas and tacos and, you know, I mean, it was like feast time because we didn't have a lot of money. So that was when we ate the best was when we went into family visits. My mom really did some great cooking.
Wow.
But other than that, yeah, I hated it.
Natalie told us that at home, her family pretty much ate just potatoes and beans. And it was only on those family visits where she got those full-on meals. And she said that she resented that.
You know, we didn't have a lot to eat growing up. And, you know, I think there was a little bit of animosity on my end, you know, when he would complain about about some of the things that he didn't have. And I know it's different, but from a kid's perspective, you're like, whoa, dude. I mean, at least you're getting some kind of meat. We're just eating rice and beans, you know? I mean, yeah. I'm not saying that's like completely truth, but that was how I felt.
That was your experience.
That was my experience. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's got to be hella hard on a kid.
But from Natalie's mom's perspective, she wanted to do anything she could to show love to her husband, and she didn't have a lot of options.
When an inmate gets incarcerated, that family member loses all control. They have no control over the crime that was committed, the time that's being served, where that inmate is being sent to. The one thing that family member has control of is getting that inmate a package, their person a package, and making sure that they're comfortable.
My name is Matt Cota, and I have a whole shebang problem.
Not long ago, we put a call out to listeners to see if anyone out there wanted to tell us about a favorite package item. And Matt was one of the guys we heard from.
Could we start by asking, do you have the email in front of you that you actually sent to us by chance?
I'm told that I read in a monotone, but whatever, here you go. The thing I miss most about prison and jail is the whole shebang crunchies. They went in everything, literally everything, crammed into a bun when we got them with the hot dogs, on top of stew and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, everything crushed up, used like a condiment. Probably the only thing that I miss about county lockup.
Describe that flavor.
The first thing is vinegar, and it's almost like that vinegar that you get when you first have a salt and vinegar chip, and it's not a flavor you get much inside. Right? Nah. It's not a lot of stuff that has vinegar in it.
Nah.
But then right after that comes spicy and a little bit of sweet. Like I said, they were like the universal condiment. They went with literally everything.
What was your first exposure to the whole shebang chip?
I was in county and I'd probably been there for 2-3 weeks, something like that, maybe not even that long. And one of the guys that I'd gotten friendly with gifted me some, gave me a little baggie. And he's like, yeah, you've been here long enough. Like, you deserve to taste something. It's completely possible I sat in my cell and cried.
Was it because that's how good it was you cried, or that's what you missed, those flavors? What?
Because that's how good it was. There is still an outside, you know, there is still life. And also just, you know, especially when you're first down, and if it's your first real experience being down, getting that first exposure of somebody just throwing a little love your way, you know, somebody like looking out for you, that's huge.
Earlonne, you know that I am a serious chip lover.
Yes, I do.
But I have never had the pleasure of having a whole shebang. but I know you had them inside.
Of course. The whole shebang is the shiznit. They had this nostalgic taste, and they only cost like $2, so that was a good price.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're making your catalog order, it's a really popular item.
But not every catalog carries the whole shebang. Different catalogs carry different things.
Right. And the rule is you can only order from one catalog every 3 months. So there's a whole hustle around this. Guys making all kind of deals to try to get everything they want each quarter.
If you were getting shoes from somebody else, you know, you would find someone who was ordering shebang and you would just get on their package.
Yeah, definitely.
Can you explain what you mean by get on, in quotes, get on someone's package?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, with the packages, each company has a really limited list of stuff. Like if you want the good sneakers, you're going with one package company, but they might not have the snacks that you want, or they might not have the fish that you want. So the catalogs come out and everybody gets together and you work out what your order is going to be in your horse trading with other people. You know, and trying to like keep it under the weight limit or to keep it within the amount of money that you had, whatever it was.
So it's like a group shopping experience.
Yes. That was like the only time when the guys who really wanted nothing to do with me would talk to me. If they knew that I was ordering from the right package, it didn't matter how much you hated each other. Like you'd be able to figure out some way to work together.
Yeah, you know, everybody can talk over some food. We can come to some
right.
some agreement.
Mm-hmm.
So once you go through the catalog and figure out what you want, you can either order it yourself if you have money on your books.
Or if you got people on the outside looking out for you, you can tell them what you want and they'll order it for you.
That was the case for Shane, who we heard from earlier. Whenever he was ready to order a package, he would get on the phone with his girlfriend, now wife, Hannah, and tell her what he wanted.
Every item on there is like, so let's say a bag of chips, it's like D2 and then like a 12-digit number. And then that's how you order them. So like throughout the course of a 15-minute phone call with like Hannah, you're trying to give off like 30 pounds of food. It sounds like you're speaking in binary, like 2691, do you copy? 36, 14, 12. And then she's like, and I'm like, read it back to me, babe, read it back to me. And then, you know, you get a number wrong. And then,
I know,
like,
if you're dyslexic, that's a nightmare. That would take up all of your phone.
Or if you're like living your life not in prison and she'd be like working, like, okay, babe, you know what I mean? Like, Jevin, right? For Valentine's Day, Hannah got me like 30 pounds of chocolate, which was, it's like a lot of chocolate.
How much of that 30 pounds did you personally eat?
Oh, tons of it. And I told myself I wasn't going to. I'm like, oh, I'm going to give this to the homeboys. You know, like, yeah, all the white guys are going to get some candy. Like, I don't know, right? Like some real tough, like, you know, I'm looking out for the boys. And instead, like, I just ate it all in the middle of the night. Like, I don't know. I have no, I don't have an off switch, though.
Oh my God, that's got to be so hard. If you're a snacker, how do you make that stuff last for 3 months?
Yeah, because sometime in the middle of the night, you get the munchies.
Our dorm, right, echoes, and my lock, and you can't see. It's not like I have a phone light. So I'm like, like, you know, like tapping things together, and it's just loud. And then you're shuffling in your bag, like.
So you rip it up. Hey, yeah,
exactly.
Doing,
yeah, right. Some light pops over the phony wall. Like, oh, I'm hungry too. Oh man, I like chocolate. That's my favorite one. Whenever you see someone eating something that you like, you're like, man, I really like nachos too.
But the stuff Shane would order in those packages wouldn't always make it back to the dorm with him.
No, Shane was fighting a real bad addiction: heroin and meth.
Pretty much everything he got in his package, he was trading for drugs.
That's your currency, right? You know, people are always willing to trade for food. And sometimes people are mad specific. Like, yeah, I'm down to trade for food. Give me these exact items. And then it's like, oh, man, they only have the chadas and chicken and not beef. It's like, oh, man, sorry, you're shit out of luck. I'm like, oh, fuck. And then you're like running around dorm to dorm trying to like fill this grocery list, like all panic because you want to get loaded so bad. Hannah, my people, right? My parents and my wife, they weren't really eager to, you know, because they'd come to visit and see me. And they're like, I don't know, maybe no packages for you, mister. And are calling and asking for, like, money.
So they'll see you and you look like you're still in the streets?
Oh, worse. That's what she told me. She's like, you look worse than you do when you're out there, man. What's going on? And like a black eye weighed like 120 pounds. I remember my like last time using, I hadn't used in like 2 days, and I got up at like 4 a.m. to use the bathroom. I walked down the wrong aisle and walked by this guy's bunk. He was like doing an issue, like doing a shot at his bed. And he just like looked at me, and like I looked at him, and he just like held it out to me. And I was like, okay. And I just remember like laying in my bed and just like mind going like a million miles an hour. It's like all the meth I just did, and like just like having to sit there and be like, what the fuck am I doing here in prison, high on meth? This is crazy. Like, I gotta stop.
Shane got clean in prison, which is a big deal in that environment because people who you were doing it with are looking at you like, bro, what's up?
Yeah, it's real easy to get pulled back in, but Shane somehow did it.
And then when did you share with Hannah that you had really stopped?
She was on the phone. We spoke every day when I was in prison, you know? And she could just tell after a while. I mean, there was me telling her, like, and then, you know, her having heard it before.
That's what I was going to say. That couldn't have been the first time she heard.
Yeah, her having heard it before. And then slowly, I mean, you could just tell in my voice. Because, like, when when I do heroin, I feel like my estrogen skyrockets and my testosterone plummets. So like I get this, you could like really hear the bitch in my voice. You know what I mean? You know, it's very like, I'm okay today, I guess. Cause I'm always like, I'm always hedging my way into like getting some money out of you. You know what I mean? So it's always like kind of this sad, manipulative like thing, you know, a little like this drag I'm running, right? And then one day, you know, I was like, I wasn't asking for nothing. You know, I was just like, how's your day going? Good. Just worked out. Gonna fucking eat here in a minute. You know, we got the Bachelor's on tonight. You know, I think Becky's gonna make it. So, yeah. You know, my stories became like a lot more chill. As soon as I started doing good, Hannah, my wife, would, she'd give me packages, you know, she knew I was like doing the right thing with them. You know, when I first stopped, you know, getting loaded in prison and I'd be walking back from store with my packages, the guys that used to sell me dope be like, hey, what's up, man? We gonna see you later? Like, what's up? And I'd be like, no, stay away. It's my food now. I'm not buying anything.
Gaining weight.
Yeah.
What the hell are we doing up here?
I have no clue.
Hey, I don't know. I just rolled with the punches. A few days back, we got orders to report to the office stat based on something top secret.
You, me, and Antoine. The orders were just be there 11 o'clock sharp and don't ask questions.
Open it up.
Yes?
Yeah!
Whole shebang!
There was a box on the table. And when we opened it up, Earlon, it was filled with bags of the whole shebang chips. It was a little treat from our editor, Amy Standen.
Yep, like 8 or 9 bags.
Yep.
And old Antoine, he was having a moment.
These take me back.
Where'd they take you?
I first had my taste of the whole shebang in 2007 in Los Angeles County Jail.
The whole shebang.
Are you shocked, E?
As soon as we opened those bags, that vinegar smell was everywhere.
He's about to go back. Is your mouth salivating?
And it really is.
He's starting to think about
he's
the
smiling.
Oldies.
He's smiling.
Is playing.
Next bite.
People it's yelling like, on a tear.
It was my chip.
Hey. Yeah, I remember that. This was like the chips. It didn't matter. You didn't need no other chips.
We'll be back after the break.
The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories, Black truths. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. Hear a feed from episodes across NPR podcasts that center Black voices. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, wherever you get your podcasts.
It seems like if something's not selling, then of course they take it out, like supply and demand, right?
Right.
The tidy whities keep being in there. Who's buying the tidy whities, Kev?
Wouldn't know.
This, of course, is my boy, our inside co-host, Rahsaan New York Thomas, back in business recording interviews in San Quentin State Prison.
He brought Kevin Sawyer into the studio to talk about, well, Earlonne. I have to say, I have heard this conversation many times, the debate over underwear.
Tidy whities.
If they show up in the next catalog, we get the new ones in July. If it shows up in July, somebody's wearing tidy whities around here.
Yeah, well, it's not me.
The dun-dun-duns?
The dun-dun-duns. Who is buying the dun-dun-duns, bro? I don't know any men who rock the dun-dun-duns. Not that I know of.
Well, see, that's just it. That's because we're in a male prison and toxic masculinity is all around us, you know?
And here's Tommy Shakur Ross. Earlonne, thank God he's bringing some adult perspective to this conversation.
Tommy Ross, all grown up.
But for the most part, I would imagine, like in society, people wear those dun-dun-duns all the time, right?
I call them underoos.
Underoos.
I remember back in the days when I was a kid, they had the Superman and the Batman and the...
Right.
You know what I mean, so you ran around, you a superhero in your drawers.
Yeah, and that's where you get the da-da-da-da.
Da-da-da-da.
Exactly.
When I came to prison, the Walking Horse catalog wasn't in color. It was black and white, like a newspaper, and it was as thin as a newspaper.
Here's Kevin again.
I also have in my cell some of the original package forms from New Folsom or California State Prison, Solano Level 4. It's the package form that you send out to your people so they can order from the street. And it has information on there where you can order like televisions from JCPenney's or Radio Shack. I had a cellmate of mine once called those travel brochures.
Why'd you hold on to that stuff?
Travel brochures.
Just want to, everywhere you travel, you want to make sure you keep them with you or just mark the time or pass the time?
Yeah, I kind of look at how things have changed over the years. It's like, wow. And it takes me back to when I was at those prisons.
What's your name and how long you been incarcerated?
My name is Gerald Welsh and I've been incarcerated for 16 years on this one.
On this one. What year did you start coming to prison?
1992.
What was different about the package catalog in 1992 to now?
1992, we used to have our families send us our packages. We didn't have catalogs.
What was a package from your family like?
Great. I mean, everything was fresh. It was bought from the store. It was what they wanted to send. 501 jeans, real nice radios, decent radios, a lot better than what we have now. Canned tuna instead of the package. A lot of candy.
Gerald is talking about a major change that took place in the prisons, really not all that long ago.
Yep. When I first got locked up, families could buy their own stuff, pack it up in a box, and send it to you inside. A real care package.
Made with love, right?
Indeed.
But according to the CDCR, the prisons were spending too much time and money going through the packages to make sure that everything inside was copacetic.
Really? So they changed the policy. Now, the only way to send an incarcerated person a package is through one of these companies.
Oh my God, Earlonne, it must have pissed people off.
Hell yeah, because now all of a sudden, a package that your family could have put together for $50 now costs $100 to $200.
And the rules about what could and couldn't be sold got a lot stricter.
I'm Lee Jaspar, and I've been incarcerated for 25 years.
Lee Jaspar.
Yep, the Velvet Fog of San Quentin.
The who?
The Velvet Fog. You know, that's what they used to call Mel Torme. Someone with a really smooth voice.
That's a new one.
Used to be able to buy 501 Levi's.
Mm.
Can't touch them no more. Less and less individualized clothing. You know, the self-narrative is becoming smaller and smaller and smaller.
What's the, when a new package book comes out, what's the first thing you look for when you get it in your hands?
Make sure they got Taster's Choice. Used to be you could buy the Taster's Choice container with the flip top lid, right? And it snaps shut. I still got one of those, and I've been filling that same container up for 10 years. It's all bags now. Everything's bags. All the tuna is bags. Used to could buy a can of tuna. Used to be, you could buy some big can of chili beans or some roast beef or something like that in cans. One dude put a can of chili beans in his sock and killed his celly with it.
Damn.
So they said, oh, you can't have no more cans because y'all are using them as weapons. You know how it goes. Mm-hmm. As soon as some food does something stupid with it, everybody gets deprived. So there is no cans no more.
You couldn't wear jeans anymore. You had to have gray sweats. Your individuality, I saw it as being stripped away from you.
We heard from Sam Lewis in the last episode. He's out now, but he spent 24 years inside.
What are those shoes you wearing?
Nike Air something.
You can't have those. You can't have Pumas. He's got Nikes on, I got Puma. We two different choices. Everybody can only get a specific type of shoe, and you might have five or six types of shoes. And so where's your uniqueness?
Do you think the switch to the catalog was purely a monetary decision on the CDCR's part?
I'll say this, and I just like, right now they still have drugs going into prison. Families haven't been in the visit in over a year. And I just leave that there. So you can't say it was packages, although, yeah, a small percentage probably did go through packages, and a small percentage probably did go through visiting. But if you still have a drug problem in prison, what does that tell you?
Without no visitors?
Without no visitors for over a year. And so I'm just gonna like, just let that lay there. If that's the case and you see that, then why not restore what used to be? Because for families, I mean, it's great to be able to pay for a package, to be able to go shop for your loved one. What you doing? I'm going to shop for my brother to get him a package. It's different than going online and clicking a button.
All right, we've got one more package story to tell.
This one is from Caesar McDowell.
You got any package catalog stories?
Crazy ass package.
All right, well, tell us about it.
I told you my father was a pretty famous musician called General Kane back in the funk era.
And did he sing? Did he play?
He sung. He had a funk group back in the days. They were pretty famous though. He was, I can't lie. You used to always hear him on the radio.
Wow. Caesar's dad also ran a bail bond shop in LA. It was a family business and everyone was expected to put in some time behind the counter.
I got straight A's on my report card one day. My pop says, man, you got straight A's tonight. You go take my car, man. You go out for the night. I'm going to go to the office. I'm going to cover your shift.
What did he give you at that age to go drive?
Oh, his Rolls Royce. Right. Yeah, he gave me his Rolls Royce. Like, man, you can go take your little girlfriends, go out to Hollywood. And I go to the office, I'll cover your shift. So I called about midnight. And I hate this part. But I called about midnight. And my cousin answers the phone. It's really loud in the office at midnight. People laughing and playing in the background.
Turned out, Caesar's family had just closed a big bond and everyone was celebrating.
Yeah, but Caesar wasn't ready to come back and join them yet.
My father was notorious for saying, who's that on the phone? Tell him to bring his ass in the office. You know, it was family. So I tell my cousin, man, let me get off the phone before my father calls me into the office. That was like at 12. At like 4:30 a.m., somebody called me and said, man, they killed your whole family in the office tonight. Your family was murdered. That's what happened. To this day, they don't know who did it.
Fast forward a bunch of years, Caesar is serving 25 to life.
So one day I'm going through the package book and I'm looking to order me some CDs, some, you know, Yo Gotti's or, you know, whatever it may be, Jay-Z, whatever it may be. And I come across a page that says some record company just remixed and re-released 3 or 4 of my father's albums that I knew absolutely nothing about. Nobody in my family knew nothing about it, but they're in the package books in the prisons.
Can you tell us about when you got the music and you played it for the first time, what it was like?
It was weird. I've never played it all the way through. I may have played it for maybe 20 seconds.
Why is that?
Hearing his voice is crazy. Yeah, it's kind of hard. Being in a prison cell, playing the CD, I did try, but as soon as you put it on, it's kind of like hard to do. So I
never so you just kept it. You kept the CDs?
Yeah,
just
it is sitting on my desk in my bedroom right now at the house.
When are you going to sit down and listen to it?
That I don't know.
Before we end the episode, we got to check back in with Shabazz.
That Lancaster guy that was so on the fence about a vaccine.
I just want to keep my family safe. And if I get blessed to return back to the community, I want to be fully vaccinated. And you got to be a soldier and stand up and do the right thing.
Yeah, and I think Shabazz was feeling it. Like, the vaccine seemed to be the right thing for him to do for his community at all. At least that's what he was saying.
While the nurse was getting his shot ready, she was asking him some questions.
Yeah, she asked him which arm he wanted to get it in, and Erlad, that put Shabazz into a tailspin.
But the left side is your vital side where everything operates accordingly.
Yeah, it won't hurt that much.
I don't know, man. I'm getting cold feet now, man. I don't know, man. It's to all these questions, and my heart really saying don't do it, to be honest.
You got to make the decision what's best for you, what's best for your family, and what you want for yourself and your family and for other people.
That's Shabazz's friend, Louis. Louis was released from Lancaster last year, but then came back inside for the Vaccine Awareness Day.
He was getting his shot at the same time as Shabazz. The two of them talked it through some more, and then finally...
Left side. I'm going to left side, too.
Yeah, that's
So it's coming out the same bottle?
It's coming out the same bottle. You want to watch me draw it in?
Not really, no.
It's gonna be all right,
Arm. You're gonna be good. Yeah.
Just look over this way.
Just take a deep breath. Inhale through your nose. Take a deep breath.
Take those J's.
And let it out. Way.
You got this. There we go.
That's it, bro. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
There it is,
Lynn.
For real.
I also would like to thank Peter Michael Lopez, Anthony Valencia, Charlie, Sam Brown, Rodney Turner, and the rest of the folks at Lancaster Prison.
Thanks also to Kevin Sawyer and the rest of the guys we heard from in San Quentin. Thanks to Quan Nguyen for his thoughts on package catalogs. And thanks to Terry Thornton and Aaliyah Cruz at CDCR for their help. Ear Hustle is produced by Nigel Poor, Erlon Woods, me, Rahsaan New York Thomas, John Yaya Johnson, and Bruce Wallace.
This episode was sound designed and engineered by Antoine Williams, with music by Antoine Rashid Zinneman and David Jossi. Amy Standen edits the show.
Subnam Sigmund is our digital producer, and Julie Shapiro is executive producer for Radiotopia.
Thanks to acting warden Ron Broomfield.
And as you know, every episode of Ear Hustle has to be approved by this guy here.
This is Lieutenant Sam Robinson, the public information officer at San Quentin State Prison. And I don't approve this episode. No, I'm messing with you. put a shock to the Ear Hustle world system. as always, I do approve this episode.
This podcast was made possible with support from Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, working to redesign the justice system by building power and opportunity for communities impacted by incarceration.
Ear Hustle is a proud member of Radiotopia from PRX. Radiotopia is a collection of independent, listener-supported podcasts, some of the best podcasts around. And please hear more at radiotopia.fm.
Them sardines cans, you open a can and the sardines are lined up like that. They tasted way different to me than anything you're going to buy in one of those pouches. I open a pack of sardines, and it's not all neatly lined up like it used to be in the can. It'd be little chunks, and they're all busted up in there. You know what I'm saying? So you lose.
You lose, man.
And that's my story.
Notch, Ear Hustle listeners are the best.
They really are. You're always in touch, letting us know what you think about episodes and sharing the love.
Yep, it's really a two-way conversation, a relationship.
Indeed it is. And if you're looking for a way to deepen that relationship, consider signing up for Ear Hustle Plus.
Ear Hustle Plus, it's a new subscription service that delivers bonus Ear Hustle episodes wherever you get your podcasts.
In addition to ad-free episodes of Ear Hustle, subscribers get behind-the-scenes, off-the-cuff conversations.
We have a monthly AMA, which is Ask Me Anything episode, where you and I answer questions sent in by subscribers.
And seriously, no question is too random or wacky.
Questions like, what's our favorite book? Do we hang out in between seasons? What's the most technically challenging Ear Hustle episode ever?
Okay, Erlon, yeah, those are good questions, but like we said above, I'd like some wackier ones, actually.
We've also started doing episode commentary, where you and I listen to a classic Ear Hustle episode and talk about how it came together, hard decisions made along the way, and where the people in the episodes are now.
Yeah, we did that for Sellies, and it was a lot of fun, so we're definitely going to do more. And Erlon, tell them about that idea you're working on.
Sure. I've been sitting down with some of my formerly incarcerated friends who have gotten out and are doing well. Just basically showing how they went from one situation to a better situation, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Those will start dropping in the Ear Hustle Plus feed soon.
Listeners, we want you in this conversation. Find out more about Ear Hustle Plus at earhustlesq.com/plus or subscribe right now in the Apple Podcast Player app.
That's earhustlesq.com/plus or right in the Apple Podcast Player.
So, what is your favorite book, Erlon?
Sorry, Nige. You got to subscribe for that.
Really?
Yes. Radiotopia.